Okay, so antidotes to attachment. Oh, let's skip that one. Let's go antidotes to other people's anger. Not to our own anger, their anger, okay. Yeah, my attachments, we don't want to apply antidotes. Well, you know, like I said before, when you really see how much attachment causes problem in your life, then, you know, you want to. So, of course, meditating on impermanence is the general antidote because, you know, then we see that the object that we're actually, like I said before, we're actually attached to the feeling from the object. And then we impute that on the object, but it's actually the feeling we're attached to that we want more of. Which is why visualization practice works so well. Because some of those feelings of joy and bliss and acceptance and being understood and so on, you can replicate those in your visualizations, in your meditation practice, without needing an outside object to get attached to. Yeah, so this actually is a very good antidote. You know, like when you're lonely, oh, I'm so lonely, you know how it is. So when I got lonely, what I used to do is imagine Chenrezig with all thousand arms hugging me. That did the trick. I didn't need anybody else to hug me. You know, whenever I needed a hug, Chenrezig did it. Okay. Then when you're doing the guru yoga practice and you imagine the guru Buddha or Chenrezig, you know, guru Chenrezig or whatever, and, you know, and you think of their qualities, you tell them what's on your mind, you know, and when you're asking for blessings, when you're asking for inspiration, basically what you've done is, you know, you've confessed everything that needs to be confessed, and you think of the things you don't like about yourself and the things that you want to cultivate in yourself. And so you're putting all of that out there. I mean, that's what's really in your heart, and he's listening to it. And then when you're saying, please inspire me, it's like that's how Chenrezig shows that he's really understood you and really heard you. Yeah. So it's interesting because we always want to feel heard, like when we're, you know, when we're mad, don't we? Yeah. Or when we're sad, you know, different motive, things like this. So, yeah, okay, we can tell all of that to Chenrezig too, but it's like, that's going to be a different way of telling it than if we tell it to another person. Yeah, because with a person, we're, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of looking for a little like, oh, poor girl, they treated you like that. That's so bad, you know, those people, they shouldn't treat you like, you know, a little bit of comfort. And, you know, although they're helping me with my anger, they're also subtly telling me that I was right all along, and those people are nasty, you know? So, but when you do that with Chenrezig, when you say the same thing, you know, like, I'm really mad at so-and-so, you can't sit there and continue to blame somebody else in Chenrezig's or the Buddha's presence, you know? It just doesn't work. Yeah, or when you're dissatisfied, you know, you're not getting your object of attachment. Yeah, and I want this, I want this, I want this, I want it. I'm not getting it. Oh, I'm so attached to it. I want it, and then you know, it's just like after a while, you can't keep saying that to the Buddha. Yeah, because if you're really imagining this, you know, in your practice, having this conversation with the Buddha, you think the Buddha's going to go, oh, well, I'll send you your object of attachment. That's just what you need to make you happy. You know, forget it. Buddha's not going to do that. Buddha's going to say, you want to be happy? I'll help you let go of the attachment. Because the attachment is the problem, not the object. Okay? So, you know, using your guru yoga practice, your visualization, I think is one good way, you know, to counteract both the attachment and especially the anger and jealousy and stuff. With attachment especially, you know, thinking of the impermanence of the feeling and the impermanence of the object itself, you know. Of course, yeah, that mint chocolate chip ice cream is impermanent. It's going to be gone in 30 seconds, but I want it, you know. It's like our understanding of impermanence sometimes doesn't work. Yeah, it isn't strong enough. We have to really think of that. That's why I think thinking of the disadvantages of the attachment often works very good. Another thing that I find is very effective with attachment, where thinking of impermanence doesn't work so well, is when I'm attached to praise and reputation. Because that, if I think that's impermanent, well, yeah, it's impermanent, but I still want more. Yeah? And I'll get more later. You know, it's like, okay, I've had enough now, but I'll get more later. But when I do this other one, I find it works very well. Of course, thinking about impermanence may work well for you, so don't listen to me in that regard. See what works well for you. But sometimes what I do is I imagine getting whatever it is I'm craving. Yeah. And then I say, now what? Yeah. There I am, fantastic person, with this fantastic person, lying on the beach, they're praising me up, down, and across, and everything's just wonderful, and they love me to bits, and they're never going to leave me. And now what? Yeah? Or, oh, I finally, you know, got my ideal job, and without much effort, I went from the bottom of the pile to the top of the pile, and I got the position I really wanted, and everybody knows how skilled I am, and I'm able to do this wonderful work and really contribute, and I get lots of praise from society. And now what? Yeah? Now am I going to really feel good about myself? Yeah, I find this one is just like cold water on my attachment to praise and reputation. You know, like, yeah, you got all of that, so what? So what? What is it doing for you? Zero. Yeah? If I want all that praise and love and appreciation, you know, having it come from outside doesn't really counteract the main problem, which is my lack of self-acceptance. Yeah. And until I deal with my lack of self-acceptance, all of that stuff is, you know, it's like a Band-Aid. Yeah. Because you know how it is. You get praise and your reputation, and one part of you is like, and then the other part is, I hope they don't really find out what I'm like. Or, uh-oh, somebody's going to be better than me later on. Then I'm going to feel terrible. Yeah? So I think, you know, if you think with the praise and reputation, think of what comes after you get it. Yeah? Like that person who loved you to bits falls out of love. The person who praised you starts picking faults. Yeah? Whatever, because that's the way it is, isn't it? Nobody constantly praises us. So you think of what comes after. And like, then you really see, oh, the more I'm attached, the more it's one big setup for pain. Yeah, one big setup. So I find that works really well, especially for praise and attachment, you know, wanting like, yes, tell me how wonderful I am. Yeah. Okay, so that's a good antidote. Try working with that. And then also just the impermanence, you know. Sit down there, especially if it's with a physical object, you know. Take your chocolate or, you know, whatever it is that you're attached to. Yeah, your greasy fried momos. You know, and just watch it, you know, bite by bite. And it's like, where's the pleasure in this? And yeah, and just watch, you know, you can imagine the sensation of chewing, you know, whatever it is and what it's like, and just do it really slowly, or take the actual thing that you're attached to and eat it very, very slowly. Yeah, it's amazing when you do that, at least when I do it, I realize that I hardly taste my food. Because usually, you know, the attachment is so much to wanting it. But once I'm actually eating it, I'm hardly paying attention to the taste. Yeah? I'm paying attention to something else. Because sitting there and having to pay attention to the taste is quite boring. Yeah? Yeah, it's so interesting how that works with food, don't you think? Yeah, you had to sit there and eat everything very slowly. It's so boring. But the attachment to getting it is, you know, the scintillating pleasure. But when you have it, it's not really that good. And then, of course, you're so busy thinking, well, you know, it's going to end, and how can I go back and get seconds before everybody else eats it? And, you know, the mind's hardly relaxed. Okay, so try some of that stuff, yeah, and see if it works.